Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Hey everyone, welcome back to this episode of the Blue Collar BS podcast. I am your co-host, Brad, along with the one, the only, the masterful master coach himself.
Steve.
There you go. You hit the cue. You're getting better at this, Steve.
I am getting a little better at this.
You're getting better at this.
Can be taught. I can be taught.
You're getting better at this. So you were at our corporate conference a couple weeks ago, did a little bit of traveling, a little bit of wine and dining, a little bit of award-winning stuff. I don't know. Did you win an award this year or no?
Nah, not there. I've gotten some other stuff, but not through there. So,
okay, great.
We're always an award winner. There's always something to win.
There's always something to win. Sometimes you got to pay for it. Sometimes you just got to apply.
That pay for is through your work and dedication, not financially. We don't pay financially for these things. We don't pay for participation bullshit awards.
Well, sometimes you do. Depends on the associations you're part of.
Well, I guess that could be at play, but it's not how we win awards.
Okay. Perfect. Awesome. So pre-show, we were working on some topics and trying to come up with some things, and we were talking about some assessments and maybe what's going on in your world. And you were talking about leadership and teams and how leaders are bitching and complaining about, well, we got to go fix this again. And it was going to be a complete shit show. And so we're going to name this title, Hey Boomers, How Do You Stop the Dumpster Fire? And to your point, it's not just boomers. It's just leaders in general when they're at the top. So let's go through an example of what we're talking about with these dumpster fires that you're seeing or conversations you're having with your clients and prospects.
Yeah. So I've had these both with clients, with prospects. Currently right now, there's a lot of conversations that I am having around. I literally was talking with somebody the other day. The person said, I literally had.
Glad it wasn't figuratively. That's great.
It wasn't figuratively. It was literally had the conversation. Actualities, specifics. Anyways, moving right on. The conversation was, I just had to stop. I had to go over to where, my team was doing the work, and I just stopped another shit show from happening. Like, why can't I find good talent? Why can't I find these young fucking kids to get up and do the damn work? Because they all just want to be keyboard jockeys and tell everybody what to do. And I was like, And as I'm listening to this person explain, what their frustration is and overall with a lot of different aspects, it just really resonates with the, hey, this isn't always an employee problem. It starts at the top because you believe you have to show up to stop the shit show from happening.
Yes. And that is delegation. That is control. That is training. That is onboarding. That is expectation setting. That is leadership. That is really effing matter. There's all of those things that happen. And I have watched it. I've got this morning, 6:30 this morning, actually 6:15 this morning, texts are starting to fly with a client, with an employee who's doesn't want to communicate with the supervisor. There's personality conflicts, different things. And like, we went through this months ago, it's emotionally charged. And right away it's like, oh my God. I'm like, guys, just step back, chill, just let it'll be fine. It'll calm down. Yes. We got things happening. Just take the emotion out of it. Let's just, at the end of the day, have the conversation, set the tone, and let it be on the employee to make a decision. Are they going to play by the rules or are they not going to play by the rules? That's a them choice, not a you choice.
Well, I would challenge that because it's brand image. It's the company that we are also a part, like the owners that may have issues with this. This is their baby. This is their brand.
Yeah, and the baby's ugly often. So let's move on
babies are ugly. Just flat out. I'm just putting that out there right now. Babies be ugly. Just plain and simple. I don't care. Babies are ugly.
For those listening to that episode, remember that come, let's see here, June 27th. So in 2 weeks, remember that when you see that podcast with an image of a Gen Z worker that's out there. Remember, that baby is ugly. I told
that person babies are ugly all the time. Like, it's a healthy debate. Anyways, back to businesses that often people's businesses, their baby businesses, are ugly. All right. But there is a brand image that people want to protect and portray. And they believe for the majority, the conversations I've been having are with boomers that their businesses aren't successful unless they are intervening. They have to intervene at every point because
the opposite of that is 100% accurate. Your business will be completely successful when you don't have to be in it every day.
100% agree.
So I guess I just want to differentiate here, right? Because sometimes we have employees that become they're the arsonist and the firefighter, right? where they are setting their own fires and they got to be the hero along this. We're not talking about that type of leadership.
Correct.
We're talking about the leaders that just can't let it go because they see the one thing that was done 5 years ago that led to a disaster, that something changed, or they're completely out of the loop on a process change or a industry requirement or a OSHA requirement that may have changed along the way because they're not following it every day. And all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever happening. So I got to go and be the hero to save everything and make sure that we don't waste the $20,000 error that likely wouldn't happen anyhow.
Right.
But we need to make ourselves feel important type leader is I guess is what we're trying to say. Is that a fair summary?
Absolutely fair summary.
Okay. I have clients in this space right now that are,
I know. It's like,
we're dealing with some stuff and it's like, you trust the individual. Let's get through it. There were another client, some more texts this morning, some employee issues, some things like, you're not going to like this answer, but just let it go. I know that the person sending you this information today pissed you off and not doing the things that you've agreed to, but let it go. Results are due on Friday. They're due at the end of the week. You'll find out on Monday. Deal with it on Monday whether the results were met or not met. Because if all of a sudden there's a surprise and the results are met, then whatever happened for all those other things doesn't matter.
Right.
Right. It might have got you angry. Might have been the wrong time. Might have been a bad thing. Might not be what you agreed to. But now I can disconnect those two things. From the leadership perspective, I can talk about the results. And if I'm not achieving results, I can get into the behaviors of not achieving the results. If I'm achieving the results and I still don't have the right behaviors, then I can still adjust the behaviors, but say, hey, keep doing the results.
Right.
But setting that expectation is vastly important. That to me is the biggest thing to keep owners out of the way. And I guarantee you, those employees wanted you nowhere near that job site in any way, shape, or form.
And oh, absolutely.
And when that owner left that job site, they were in the trailer.
MFing.
Yeah. Going, man, we could have this done 15 minutes faster. We didn't have to do it this way. We just scrapped so much. And now we're going to get yelled at for having to get more material or whatever it is that they pseudo saved from the shit show happening, the dumpster fire.
Right.
What are you thinking, guys?
Yeah. So why do you think or why what makes you believe that I will say owners take that mentality?
I think a lot. So I'm going to equate this to our own businesses a little bit, right?
Yep.
So we find our niche, we find our voice, we find our thing, and then it works, but then we get bored with what works. So let's try something new. Let's go find some new technology. Oh, let's try this. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. Let's make this happen. I think that when things are running really, really well, owners get bored.
Yeah.
And they're looking for something to be engaged with and feeling the want and the need to be part of something versus just being, having the self-awareness of accepting the greatness they've created,
right?
And taking the win and saying, oh, cool, great. Maybe there's some philanthropy I can do. Maybe there's something I can do for the industry. Maybe there's a board I can go be part of because I don't need to be here all the time and I can find better use of my time than just telling my employees, oh my God, you're going to fuck it up again.
Right. Right. There's that aspect. Boredom.
What's on your side of that equation?
My side of that equation kind of leads to it falls into the ego trap. Nobody can do it as good as me. Not that I'm bored, but nobody can do it as good as me. I've trained them. I've told these people
Did you
train them? Let's put that to the side. We'll bring that back. We'll wind that back up. That's another component of it. But in my runnings with this, there is a strong ego component of the individual as well.
So are we identifying a potential behavioral pattern from a character standpoint versus
Correct. There are some behavioral patterns that do show up. And when we bringing this back, when we said we've trained them, inadvertently, we've left things out. Why have we left things out? We've showed them 90%+ of the way to do it. This is how I want you to do it.
Well, I'm going to disagree that it's even that much.
Well, okay. I'm in agreement that could be less.
I was being generous. Think about where you are right now. Think about right now if you are sitting at your desk or sitting at your kitchen table or on your treadmill or whatever listening to this show. If you had to tell somebody right now how to get to Target, the nearest Target from where you're at using your vehicle, how would you tell them to do that? You're going to miss 98% of the steps along the way about,
completely.
I need the keys, unlock the door, steps, how do I get out of the building? All those things you're going to miss completely in that process.
Because you're just going to tell them, pull out your phone, put it in your app, and there you go. That's how you get there.
Right. But I didn't walk off. I didn't unbuckle. I didn't lock the doors. I didn't press on the brake. I didn't put a seatbelt on. I didn't do any of those other things.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And some of those things, for defense of those that could be taking offense, these are the stuff that we are going to admit are just things that we just naturally think we do because we've done it so often. And so some of those, I'll call them natural reflexes because we made them natural.
The unconscious behaviors that we have.
Yes. Yep. We've gotten to that point where it's just like, I just do it. I don't know. I just know how to do it. So as I'm explaining it to someone, or for those that really like the term mansplaining, I got to mansplain it to someone of...
I don't know if anybody likes that term, just to be honest with you, Steve.
Not on this show, but, you know, just for shiggles. Just for shiggles. You know, for those that might like that.
Yeah. But the mansplaining piece is the right. So there's a balancing act. There's a balancing between what is quote unquote common knowledge versus what is shared knowledge.
Right.
And that common knowledge is learned typically by watching, doing, understanding the culture, just getting hurt. Right. We don't put our hands on every baby puts their hand on the stove door because they don't know any different, but they do it once and then they stop or twice. Yep. Maybe three times if they're slow, right? It's like, hey, oh, that's hot. Don't touch that. Okay, great. You learn after a period of time to find out, is that metal hot? Is it what? Did you just get done welding it? Oh, let me just touch instead of just grabbing it right away and go, holy shit, you're not going to do that in that environment. So those are some of those cultural learnings and situational learnings. The other part of you got to give the specific examples of what to do and what feeds and speeds you need to run your wires at and the different things. You shouldn't have to tell them that I got to wire brush it every time to clean it off or make sure it's a clean joint or make sure I got the right bevels, right? That should be some of that becomes common awareness. Read the print before I weld it.
Just weld it. Just Just weld it. I don't care. Just weld it together. Just fix it. Just do it. Just do it. So coming back, so there's that all that whole component there. But coming back to that, the other aspect that I'm often hemming and hawing about is just how much there is that we as owners are not as relatable to our employees. And from the standpoint, we as owners believe we have to worry about everything. And we have a bias towards our employees that they just have to go do the job. And we have to worry about everything. So that component
Fair.
Comes into play fairly frequently in the business because the Right. owners are so worried. They're worried about bottom line. They don't hit the bottom line. I can't afford things in the business. It could be I want to add more employees, or I want to do something nice for my employees, but because these two shitheads over here shot the job down, now I've got to make up that money somewhere else.
Or actually understand what happened and issue the change order.
I mean, there's that too.
Maybe, possibly, potentially. Maybe the two shitheads did what the job superintendent asked them to do from the customer viewpoint and didn't know anything about that, because you always say, oh, just take care of it because Bill's a good guy, so we just do it. And then you go, well, what the hell did you do that for? And it's your inconsistent behavior because I haven't proceduralized anything or systematized anything that today it's good and tomorrow it's bad.
Yep.
Because today it's really good because the bank account is full. Tomorrow it's bad because I paid everybody.
Yep.
Right. And that's managing, right? You got to go through that from a leadership ownership perspective of understanding risks associated with it. And you can't manage every risk.
Right.
Being a business owner is the risk. You were playing the Derek Jeter, probably Hall of Fame speech or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah. Before, right?
About failure, about whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to fail. And there are some mistakes that are going to cost you hundreds of thousands of possibly millions of dollars along the way.
Mm-hmm.
You won't do it again.
Right.
You'll be cautious the next time it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean you need to be the one watching over it or stepping into the process to do right. so.
Yep.
You as a leader should be empowering your team to be successful. And from a leadership philosophy, if you're leading as from a fear position, you're leading through title power. I am the owner, therefore you shall do what I do. And your employees are afraid of you or they're afraid because of the title power versus you as the human being and your personal influences. They're not, those are two very different leadership mindsets and two very different leadership cultures. The leader that leads through personal power and happens to be the owner is going to be outperform the leader from fear every time, all the time, over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. Short term, maybe not, right? It's like the stock market.
Yep.
Over the long haul, it outperforms everything.
100%.
Today, something else Bitcoin may have outperformed the S&P. I don't know. I didn't look today, but
whatever
it is. That's a leadership style and leading from a failure's yours, success is theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
And you control how many fucking dumpster fires are created.
It's just the number of employees.
Right. Which goes into the training, which goes into the expectation setting, which goes into the providing authority, being available to listen and understand and seek to understand versus just giving answers. Just go do it that way.
Do what I told you to do and you'll be okay. Why can't you just do what I told you to do?
Because I didn't tell you about the four other things that were there that you wouldn't let me talk about because you wanted me out of your office because you're a high D instead of a S or a C that wants to know information. So I'm busy. So just tell me the thing you need done and I'll go do it.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I totally can resonate with that. Totally.
So needing to being able to adapt your behaviors to your staff members is vitally important to eliminate those dumpster fires from even beginning.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. So
yes, we're picking on boomers here, but it's every leader.
It is every leader. It isn't just boomers. Right now, the conversations are with a lot of boomers that we're having.
Right, because they're frustrated out of fear and anxiety with all the uncertainty that's going on around, and they're nearing the end. I assure you that 25 years ago, if they were in that position, they wouldn't give two shits about it.
No, they would not. They totally would not. They would bury their head and figure it out. Move on. Now they're raising their hand going, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. Help me out.
All right. So put together an organization that can provide you options, and you'll be in a much better spot.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Well, thank you, sir.
All right, Mr. Doyle, that is a great topic for today. Let's not start any more dumpster fires. Let's lead. Let's lead as leaders, not through my title or through my ego. Mm-hmm. And you will find significantly more results. And for those listening, if you need that support in any way, shape, or form, don't hesitate to reach out to the show or Steve or I individually. Mm-hmm. We have lots of things available to support you in that path. So, Mr. Doyle, as always, enjoy the great Motor City. And we will talk to you soon.
You enjoy Milwaukee as well.
All right, thanks.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue collar businesses strong for generations to come.